Chapter 6. Don't do this, please. Vicky opened her eyes at the sound of her father's voice. It was tense and urgent. She heard his footsteps pace across the kitchen, what he did lately whenever he was on the phone. I just need more time, he said just above a whisper. Vicky turned and looked at the clock. It was just after 8 on Saturday morning. Weak light filtered through the dusty window blinds, making the living room ghostly gray. She realized she had never called Martin. She had hoped to speak with him last night and see how his appointment with the counselor went. But instead, she'd opened her English textbook and passed out on the couch. She could barely recall falling asleep, though she had a dim memory of her parents arguing and Dad pulling a blanket snug around her neck. Did he say, "Sorry, princess," when he did that? The memory was so foggy, she wasn't sure. Look, I'm doing everything I can, Dad said just above a whisper. Things I never dreamed I'd do just to try to raise this money. Give me more time. This is our home you're talking about. There was a pause. Vicky held her breath, unable to stop herself from listening. You don't understand, he replied. His voice sounded more frustrated than ever. She pulled the blanket up over her face. Come on, work with me here, please. He cursed then, slamming the phone down. Vicky pretended to be asleep as he stormed into the living room, grabbed something, and headed out the front door. He made several trips outside carrying bags and boxes. Then she heard his car start, and he was gone. Not long after, she heard the click and thump of her grandfather's walker pressing on the carpet. Not now. It's Saturday. Can't you at least sleep late, abuelo? She wanted to say. She peeked from her blanket to see her grandfather coming slowly down the hall. But rather than come into the living room, he turned and headed into the kitchen, grunting with effort. Papi, what are you doing? Mom asked, following him from her bedroom. Her eyes were blotchy and swollen, as if she hadn't slept at all the night before. Just go sit with Vicky and I'll make breakfast, she said. No, he barked. I'm tired of sitting. Her mother shook her head in frustration. She looked exhausted. I'll help him, Mom, Vicky said, stretching and getting up from the sofa. Mom retreated zombie-like to her room as Vicky dragged herself to the kitchen. Inside, Abuelo had opened the refrigerator and was pulling out ingredients and placing them on the counter. Eggs, cheese, salsa, butter, leftover refried beans Mom had made the other day. Abuelo, what are you doing? Vicky asked. Making breakfast, he replied, as if her question was silly. But Abuelo, you can't even... She began, but then stopped herself. She didn't have the heart to say the words to him. He stopped and turned to her as if he knew what she was about to say. One day, you'll be old and understand, Nina, he said then. I have to do something. Vicky heard the emotion in his voice. It was almost as if he was desperate too. Just like Dad. Well, then let me help you, she insisted, putting an arm around his shoulders. He studied her face, his eyes glimmering slightly. You're so much like your grandmother. Even more than your mother, he said, shaking his head. Okay, you can help me, Nina. Get me some flour and 2 pans. For the next hour, Vicky followed Abuelo's orders, mixing dough by hand, dividing it into round clumps, letting them sit for a time, and then rolling them carefully on the table. Though his fingers were gnarled and leathery, Vicky noticed they seemed to soften and become flexible when he worked the dough, transforming it into homemade tortillas, something she hadn't eaten in years. Not too thin or they break, he explained as she followed his example. With his help, Vicky heated the tortillas, covered them in scrambled eggs, salsa, and refried beans. He even taught her how to make fresh coffee for Mom. "What smells so good?" Danny said, walking into the kitchen while Vicky was setting the table. "Abuelo made breakfast." "For real?" Danny looked astonished. "Vicky made it, not me," Abuelo said, with a playful wink. "Sit down and eat before it gets cold." "Yolanda!" he called to Vicky's mother as if she was a little girl. Mom walked in looking as exhausted as ever, though the sight of the table brought a smile to her face. Vicky loved the way Mom's smile brightened the room. It was the first time she had seen it in a while. "Wow, it smells so good in here," Mom said, giving Abuelo a kiss. "If you two do this every day, I'm gonna have to go on a diet." She then squeezed Vicky's arm warmly. Vicky knew it was her way of saying thank you, and she felt the cloud over the house lift a bit. For once, the table was full of good food and no one was yelling or fighting. For once, there was no tension lurking in the room like a ghost. And yet, Vicky couldn't avoid staring at the empty seat at the head of the table. Danny seemed to read her thoughts. "Where's Dad?" he asked. "He said he's got an early interview this morning, a good dealership in the suburbs. Pray he gets the job," Mom said, sipping her coffee, her eyes gazing toward the front door. "We need all the help we can get." Abuelo grunted. Vicky knew something wasn't right about Mom's answer. Her father didn't seem as though he was talking about a job interview when she'd heard him in the kitchen. And why was he loading the car if he was going to an interview? It didn't make sense. Yet, she didn't want to say anything, especially not with Abuelo listening. Instinctively, she reached for her cross. It was gone. She ran her hand along her neck and realized that the whole chain was missing. Had it broken? Maybe she had snapped it when she was cooking. She looked in her seat and then back at the kitchen floor. Nothing. "What is it, Vicky?" said Mom. "My necklace. It's Miss... Ring!" The kitchen phone blared like an alarm clock. Abuelo dropped his fork. "Ay, Dios mío! It isn't even 10 yet!" he exclaimed. "Why don't they just leave us alone?" Danny groaned. Mom grimaced as if the sound hurt her ears, too. "Ring!" "What if it was Martin?" Vicky wondered. She decided to grab it, just in case. "Hello?" She heard an electronic click and immediately knew it was another collection agency, transferring the call to a real person. Her pulse quickened. "Michael Fallon?" the caller said, mispronouncing her last name. Vicky could hear other voices in the background. Laughter. Countless other calls being made. Other people being hassled for money. She wondered about the person on the other end of the phone. Did he know what it was like to be harassed at all hours of the day? Did he even care that her father was out of work, her grandfather was ill, and her mother was struggling? It was as if money was the most important thing in the world. Vicky hated it. "Wrong number," she declared. She then hung up the phone and turned to her mother, unable to stop the question from jumping from her lips. "Mom, when's this gonna stop? It's getting worse, not better," she said. It was the first time she had ever asked her directly about the phone calls. Danny and Abuelo turned toward Mom. Their expression said they were also interested in her answer. "Your father and I are behind on some bills," her mother admitted. "Why didn't you tell me before you asked me to come here?" Abuelo muttered. "You don't need an old man to take care of right now." "No, papi. I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to worry." "Michael and I are fine. I mean, yes, with him out of work, things are a little tight. But they're tight for a lot of people right now. The car payment, insurance, the mortgage, bills, credit cards. I mean, we didn't know he'd lose his job," she said, shaking her head. "No one's buying cars right now." "What's gonna happen?" Danny asked then. He seemed younger and more vulnerable somehow. We hear the messages. I see the mail. Now the TV's not working. It's like each day things get worse. And the way you and Dad are acting lately... His voice trailed off. Vicky's stomach churned at Danny's words. She could hear the worry and pain in them. She reached for her missing chain. Danny stabbed at his refried beans. How are we acting? Mom snapped defensively. If you were the only one taking care of everything all the time, you'd get upset too, she added, pausing to take a deep breath. She glanced around the table at the many eyes which were suddenly locked on her face. For a second, the room was completely silent, as if everyone was hanging on her words. Look, don't you worry. Your father is at an interview right now. Sooner or later, something is going to break for him. You'll see. Until then, we're just going to have to sit tight, Mom said. But her voice was hollow, as if she didn't fully believe what she said. She raised the coffee cup to her mouth like she was trying to hide behind it. The sight gave Vicky a chill. Abuelo looked as if his breakfast had upset his stomach. Enough about this. These things are for your father and me to worry about. Not you. Your job is to keep up with your schoolwork, okay? Mom said, her voice sounding forced and unnatural. How are the plans for Teresa's quinceañera coming along? Did she pick out her dress? Danny rolled his eyes and got up from the table. Abuelo watched him go. So did Mom, though no one said anything. Vicky wanted to get up, too. More than anything, Mom's assurances made her more worried, not less. The last thing she wanted to think about was Teresa's stupid party. I have no idea, she answered, watching Danny escape to the living room. I'm not going. Not going? Why not? The two of you are best friends. I'm just not going, okay? Vicky snapped. She wasn't about to mention the money issue or Teresa's problems with Martin. It was bad enough without Mom getting involved. It's not about your quinceañera, is it? You know, if money wasn't so tight, we'd have had a big... No, it's not that, Mom. Just forget it, okay? Vicky said, feeling a wave of resentment. She got up from the table and took her plate to the sink. Where's my game box? Danny yelled from the living room. Huh? Vicky said. Did you take it? He asked accusingly. What are you talking about? My game box. It was here yesterday, and now it's gone. Someone must have stole it. No one stole it, Vicky replied. How could that happen? Someone's always here. And if someone stole it, I would have heard it. Remember, I was sleeping on the couch. As she spoke, Vicky remembered what she had heard earlier, the sounds of her father taking things to his car. A chill raced down her spine as she remembered his conversation. I'm doing things I never dreamed I'd do, he had said. Did that include taking things from their house? Is that what Dad meant? The questions tumbled through her mind. Maybe Dad took it, she said. Dad? Why do you say that? Mom asked, her eyes suddenly stormy. I heard him this morning when he left. He took a bunch of stuff to the car. I thought you said he was looking for work today, Abuelo said in Spanish. That's what he told me. Mom pushed her plate away as she spoke. You mean Dad stole my game box? Danny exclaimed, his voice a mix of hurt and outrage. He didn't steal it, Mom said a little too forcefully. If he took it, there was a good reason. Yeah, right. My games are gone too, Danny blurted, rushing to his room and slamming the door behind him. Abuelo mumbled a prayer in Spanish. In the distance, Vicky could hear Danny's drawers opening and closing. He emerged a minute later, dressed in jeans and a black t-shirt. His backpack hung on his back. Where you going? Vicky asked. Mario's, he said, racing for the door. His eyes were puffy and pink, as if he had been crying. For what? Vicky asked. But he ignored her, dashing out as if the house was on fire.